What we'd like to discuss today, to finish up our study of Maleches Korea for the time being, I mean it's endless, but we'll try to do whatever we can, and then to go back a little bit to Maleches Kosev, speaking about the relationship between Ksiva and Shabbos, and Ksiva and Get, Ksiva and Sefer Torah. And the last thing we discussed with regard to Maleches Korea was a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Makis. And of course, I don't have a Gemara Makis, but there's a Gemara in Makis about Poseach Beit HaTzavar B'Shabbat Chayef. That the Gemara says that you're Chayef for such an action. And here we're going to find the Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. So let's open up the Rambam, because we don't have the Gemara Makis, so we'll move backwards, sort of switch the order. It doesn't matter. And the Rambam is in Perek Yud Halacha Yud, and he writes the following: Hakorea kedei litvar shtei tefiros. Thank you. Almanas litvar shtei tefiros chayef. Al hakorea lafsido potem mishum shu mekalkel. Hakorea b'chamoso al meso shu chayev is chayev. The day shmiyashiv is daito. Blah 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 blah. Etc. etc. Who mesake b'chayev. Clearly, the Rambam is bringing down Korea Beis HaTzavar on Shabbos here in the context of Maleches Korea. I mean, this entire halacha is dedicated to Maleches Korea. However, if you take a look in Rashi, in Masechta Makis, on the sugya of Poseah Beis HaTzavar, you'll see that Rashi says Yechayev not for Maleches Korea. Exactly. But rather for Maleches Makeb and Patish. And obviously we can ask in both directions. You know, first, why is it that the Rambam is hesitant to include this case of Beit HaTzavar on the Maleches Makeb and Patish? And at the same time, we can ask why Rashi is balking, is inhibited about classifying this malacha as Maleches Korea. Where did Rashi find that there's no Maleches Korea? So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav on Gimel Amid Beis towards the end. It says Haposeach Beis HaTzavar B'Shabbos Chayov Chatos. Okay. So Rashi says, "Sha'asa pe'al lechalok chadash." So he's got this large piece of cloth, and now he makes a pe'al. He makes an opening, and Rashi says, "Chayev shetiken kli." So the assumption here that when Rashi says "tiken kli," and you'll see this in Rashi all over the place in Shabbos up and down, he's talking about Maleches Makeb Patish. And the question obviously is, what happened to Maleches Korea? So if we take a look at the Mefarshim here in the Rambam, Perek Yud Halacha Yud, specifically the Kesef Mishnah, he writes the following. Pirush Rashi, Sha'asa Pesach Chodesh L'chalok B'Shabbos Chayev Chatos Mipnei Shetikein Kli. That's a literal quote, word for word of Rashi. Pirush, D'nehi D'lo Machayev Mishum Korea. Okay, and I'm skipping a few words, which I'll come back to in a second. Mishum tikun de kli davi gmar malacha v'toldos makom patish chayev. So let's go back to the words I skipped. Nehi delo machayev mishum korea. According to Rashi, nachayev mishum korea. So he says, and this you'll find in the Ritva, and before the Ritva, the Ramban, that korea shalom anas litvar. This is a case where he was shalom and as litvar, and therefore u'machayev mishum tikun kli could only be chayev for tikun kli. So the bottom line is the way that this school of thought understood Rashi, and we'll see another school of thought in a minute. Rashi holds that Maleches Korea requires almanas litvar. Here, obviously, he wants to set up his beged. He has no intention of sewing it up. And the question that we have to ask here is, can this premise be justified? That there's no kriya that you chayfa without al manas litvar. What about the case of Korea, al mesel Korea, michamosel? The Gemara here on Daf Kufei assumes that you chayfa here from Lechas Korea, even though it's shalom manas litvar. And that indeed, we'll come back to this later on, is Rabbi Kivega's kash on Tosus, because Tosus in two places, on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph and on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, assumes, like this Rashi, the way that the Rishonim understood Rashi, that Korea means Almanas Litvar. And the question is, what to do with those cases where he's not at all interested in Tefira, and yet he's Chai. Okay. So now we want to offer another approach to explain why Rashi balks, you know, why he avoids Meleches Korea. And the Chazon Ish has dedicated an entire section. We found that it was in Siman Nun Aleph, thanks to Yechiel for that, because I had mentioned that it was in Mem Aleph. It's really Nun Aleph, so make that correction. And Sivkot and Yud Gimel. I have it here on the table. The Chazon Ish makes a few very important points here. First of all, he quotes a Bir Halacha of the Mishnah Berurah, who says that the definition of Kriya requires Kriya Hamashchisa, Hamahareses. Now, you might ask, what does that mean? That sounds like it's antithetical to everything we know about Shabbos, because Makalkal in Shabbos is Potter. So now he's telling you that Meleches Kriya is a Halacha that by definition requires Heres and Hashchasa. You know, Hashchasa seems to be a concept that's antithetical to Shabbos, but that's the way he defines it. And not only that, he claims he has a precedent for this. There's another malacha on our list of 39 malachas, and maybe more than one, but at least one that we want to isolate here, and that is Meleches Soser. And Soser, by definition, is a Meleches Hashchasa. So we have Soser Almanas Livnos, which means that even though he's destroying something, it's still creative. It's Tikkun, it's Malachas Shal Tikkun, not Malachas Kilkul. And we have a similar case, says the Chazon Ish, in the name of the Mishnah Berurah, in the case of Meleches Korea, where the Korea itself is just to prepare for Tfira. And since the Kriya itself, although it's destructive in nature, it prepares for the tefira that follows, therefore it's a Meleches Tikkun and not a Meleches Kilkul. But nevertheless, the essence of the Melacha, namely of Meleches Kriya, like the essence of Meleches Soser, is that it's a Meleches Hashchasa. Here in the manufacturing of this garment, you have to cut out the circle in the middle of the garment. That's anything but a Meleches Hashchasa. That's the way you manufacture the garment. So in order to create a garment, that's the way you do it. And therefore, if you go with this Mishnah Berurah, says the Chazon Ish, we have a whole other pshat in Rashi. Why does Rashi, in the case of Poseh Beis HaTzavar, avoid Meleches Korea? Because in the case of Beis HaTzavar, as we said, that's not a Kriya Shel Hashchasa. Where do we find the source for Soser? How do we know that Soser is not going to be Chayav unless it's a Meleches Hashchasa? This is the last thing we discussed 2 days ago. And the answer is, when you take a wall that's solid and you cut out a window, and as a result you destroy part of the wall, and you and I would have said, well, since you're destroying part of the wall, that should be a violation of Meleches Soser. The Gemara in Perek HaBoneh has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether you chayv mishum makom hapatush or mishum Meleches Boneh. But kuliyamalo pli, nobody raises the possibility you should be chayv for Meleches Soser. Says the Chazon Ish, the reason for that is because Meleches Soser is a Meleches Kilkul, so to speak, a Meleches Hashchasa. Now, if you want to create a window in a wall, the only way you have to do that in manufacturing this window, creating this window, is by cutting out a piece of the stone. So you start with a solid wall or a solid block, and now you cut it out. That's not called Derech Hashchasa. On the contrary, that's creating a window. And therefore, Meleches Soser is not even a candidate here. So if we take the Bir Halacha, we now have an answer to the question that all the Mefarshim ask in Perek HaBoneh. Why is it that when you cut out the stones for a window, you're not Chayav Mishum Meleches Soser? Nobody raises the possibility of Soser. And why is it that Rashi, with regard to Poseach Beis HaTzavar, avoids Meleches Korea, and the answer to both these questions, based on this Bir Halacha, is one and the same, says the Chazon Ish. That in both cases, the essence of the Melacha, the definition of the Melacha, is Stira, is Hashchasa, is Harris. And if you do it in a way that's constructive and creative, and it's part of the manufacturing system, and that's the way you get to your goal, that's not neither Meleches Sosa in the case of cutting out a window, nor is it Meleches Korea in the case of cutting out an opening for his head. And therefore what he ends up with is that there's no Meleches Korea, nor Meleches Sosa, unless it is Hashchasa. It's got to be Derech Hashchasa.
So it means it's Hashchasa with a Tikkun aspect.
Mm-hmm.
If it's non-Hashchasa with Tikkun,
correct,
then it has to be Amnas.
Right, so what would be a classical case of Hashchasa, which is a Tikkun, in Meleches Korea, would be Korea al Chamos or Korea al Mes. It's very cool, because again, let me just summarize. What we're saying now is that leave the Ramban and the Ritva out of the equation. They claim that Meleches Korea has to be Almanas Litva. And if it's not Almanas Litva, Rashi holds, it's not Korea. Forget that. Even if it's Shalom and Aslitfar, there's Meleches Korea. But it's got to be a Meleches Shal Hashchasa. It's got to be Kriya Shal Hashchasa. That's the Mishnah Berurah's Chiddush, and that's what the Chazon Ish says, that therefore Rashi avoids in the case of Poseach Beis HaTzavar, which is, again, a perfect case of Kriya Shal Tikkun, Shalom and Aslitfar, and Rashi says, you know why you potter? Because there's too much Tikkun here. It's not Ashchasa Litzarach Tikkun, but it's by its very essence Tikkun. And that takes it out of the category of Korea. But let's say I had a Korea that by its very essence was Ashchasa. Ella, it was a Tikkun. Then you'd be Chai for Meleches Korea. And now we've answered up so many different questions, because the precedent for this Meleches Korea Shal Hashchasa, Kriya Shal Hashchasa, Almanas Letaken, would be the case of Chamos and Almisa. Because in those two cases, he's ripping the garment, he has no intention to resew the garment. In fact, in certain cases, maybe he's not even allowed to resew the garment. And yet, despite this Hashchasa, he's going to be chayav from Meleches Korea, even though it's Shalom Almanas. Amanas Litva.
The Ramban Ritva didn't offer their own answer to explain Rashi's problem with Korea. Also, we needed to wait all the way till the Mishnah Berurah came along. The Rashi has to be Amanas Litva.
Well, no.
Or wouldn't be Chai.
Wait a second. Yechiel, as far as I know, again, I could be wrong about this, the Ramban and the Ritva are asking one question, but they're not addressing another question. Meaning, I don't believe, until I see I'm wrong, which maybe I'm wrong, that they address the question, what are we going to do with Korea al Chamasa?
No, they don't make it.
But they want to know, why aren't you chayav in the case of Poseach Beis HaTzavar? So they said, because it's not Almanas Litva.
So, but the obvious question to follow.
Right, so I don't know if they addressed that question. And honestly, at the end of the Shia today, don't expect any miracles here. I don't have an answer to that question. But be that as it may, What the Ramban and the Ritva understand in Rashi is that when the Mishnah says Korea Almanas Litvar, it doesn't mean that Almanas Litvar makes it into a Tikkun, right? But means that Almanas Litvar means it's got to be Almanas Litvar, right? It's got to be Almanas Litvar. And in the case of Poseach Beis HaTzavar, it's not Almanas Litvar, period. It could be the greatest Tikkun in the world, but it's not Meleches Korea because it's not Almanas Litvar. The Chazon Ish in the Mishnah Berurah is saying, you know why it's not Chayev? It could be the greatest Meleches Tikkun, but it's too much of a Tikkun. The fact that it's Shalom Almanas Litvar, that doesn't bother me. Rashi would hold that Almanas Litvar is just another way of saying Almanas Lusaken. If you would have a Tikkun without Almanas Litvar, you'd be Chayev for Kriya, but only if it's Hashchas Almanas Litaken. And therefore, we've now killed two birds with one stone. Not the Derech Hashchos. but we killed the bird of why is Rashi going to admit that Korea Mechamos Almeso is Chayav? The answer is because there it's Hashchosa Litzarech Tikkun. And we've also answered why Rashi couldn't possibly explain that Poseach Beis HaTzavar is Chayav Mishum Meleches Korea, because there's Hashchos Almanas Lusaken. And the Chazon Ish says we can also gain a third bird. We can kill three birds at one stone. The third bird has nothing to do with Meleches Korea, but has to do with Meleches Soser. And why is it that in the case of Poseach Chalon, no one raises the possibility that it be Chai for Meleches Soser? The answer is because Soser, like Korea, requires a Mais Hashchasa in order to define the Melecha as Stira. When you cut out a window, that's anything but Hashchasa. Now let's see if we can possibly address another question. And this is the kasha that we spent last week's shir on, a large part of it, from the Prima Gadim, for Sugyan Beis Adaf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis, Ein Korin, Niyar, Beyontif, Litzos Bo, Moliach. The Rambam, and we saw it more than once, in Perikov Gimel, says that Ein Korin Niyar is only an Issa Derabbanan. So he rips this paper for baking purposes, for frying purposes, to cut it down to size, so it can function properly. And yet he's not chayev for a malacha d'oraisa. Why not? So the Rambam says, because that's not called a kli. You haven't made a kli. In other words, the Rambam is analyzing this sugya of Ein Korin Niyar Biyonta from the perspective of Meleches Makav Patish. And therefore it's only Nirek Hemesakin Kli, it's not a Kli Gomur, and therefore it's only the Rabbon. It's tough now, Aleph Rechtik, everyone asks the question, what about Meleches Korea? So this is very interesting. At this point, we can again invoke the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah says Meleches Korea has to be what kind of Melecha? Hashchasa. This is not Hashchasa. In other words, in terms of the needs that he has for the functional needs for using this niyar for tzliyah, at this point he's got to cut the niyar down to size. Is that correct? It's almost like, again, I don't mean this literally, he's manufacturing baking paper, because baking paper has to be in a certain size, otherwise part of it goes up in smoke or whatever happens. So in that sense, this is anything but a kriya shel hashchasa. Because what happens? Before the kriya, it's too large. The paper is too large, and you can't use it in the proper way. So the kriya now prepares the niyar for its shimush. It's a tikkun. It's not a kriya shel hashchasa. So I said to you that we're going to kill two birds, and then I upped the ante to three birds. Now I'm upping it to four birds. Again, if you don't mind my chazara here, there are four questions that are answered by this Rashi, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands Rashi. That kriya has to be a kriya shel hashchasa. First of all, number one, we understand very well that in the case of Beis HaTzavor, it's not that Rashi is hesitant in classifying it as Korea because it's not Almanas Litfor. Rashi doesn't have Almanas Litfor. He needs Tikkun. But he needs Hashchasa, and this is not called Hashchasa. Question number two, why would Rashi, that's what we have to ask in the light of the Ramban and the Rifal, though I don't know that they spell out this question, why would, according to Rashi, would you be Chayev? So Korea Bechamos Almeso, since it's not Almanas Litfor, the answer is Rashi doesn't require Almanas Litfor, he just requires a Kriya Shel Hashchasa Sheyesh Bo Tikkun, and that's exactly these two cases. Question number three, how do we understand the case of Ein Korin Sanir, but wait a minute, was Soser on our list? Yeah, again, Soser on our list, but not within the perspective of Meleches Korea per se, but in a broader perspective, that if we have now a breakthrough, a precedent, that a Melech has to be, by definition, a Melech shel hashchasa, and that's what we find in Korea. So the Chazon Ish says, let's apply that logic to Meleches Soser. It's got to be a Maisa Hashchasa. And here, in the case of opening up a window, that's not called a Maisa Hashchasa. And finally, the fourth bird that we're killing now is, why is there no violation of Melech Doraisa of Meleches Kriya in the case of Niyar? And here, certainly, it's a Kriya Shel Tikkun. The answer is, it's not B'derech Hashchos. I just want to review if I didn't leave anything out here. Just one second. Just want to see that I didn't leave anything out. And then you're on, Zev. I'm sorry. So just give me a second. So again, we have that. Okay. And then we have that. And then we have that. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
At the time, you also mentioned that it's not God. And it's also being one of the...
Meaning the following, that even if I accept the Rav Shulchan Aruch that requires Bad, or Dorad Nerag, from Meleches Kriya, because he's linking it up with Tefira, as we discussed, that doesn't answer the question that we started with today in Poseach Beis HaTzavar. Why does Rashi omit Meleches Kriya? The Shulchan Aruch HaRav is not going to help us in this case, because Poseach Beis HaTzavar is a beged, it's a Dovra Nerag, and therefore even according to the Rav Shulchan Aruch, it's a great candidate for Meleches Korea. Why doesn't Rashi call it Korea? So the Rav Shulchan Aruch is not going to help us here. Which is good for us, because we want to explain why we need the Mishnah Berurah.
If we want to say that Rashi doesn't require Amanas, we have to justify the Mishnah Berurah. She says Amanas. Rashi accepts.
Oh, so Rashi says you need a Tikkun. So the Mishnah is giving you the classical case of Kriya Sheyesh Bo Tikkun. And that's the case of Amanas Litvar. Like in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they nafal badarna, Yiriyah she nafal badarna, and the only way they were able to restitch it was they had to rip it open, so it'd be in a certain shape, and then they could sew it up. So it was a tefira, it was a kriya manas litfar. That makes it into a kriya shel tikva. So it's very interesting, by the way. If you took a video camera, you could find two identical situations. One of them is chayef from Meleches Korea, and one is not. You're ripping a garment. Take a video camera. This is an act of kilkul. Take a video of the second one. He's also doing a bicycle. No, the answer is he's not. Why? Because he's removing knots that have to be removed in order that he can sew it up. So the same identical action, when it's done for two different purposes, will determine whether you're chayef for kriya. That's all if you hold that you need almanas litvar. We're approaching Rashi now with a much more radical approach. Again, because historically, you know, in the last 1,000 years, nobody approached Rashi in this way. Classical way of understanding Rashi was that you need Almanas Litvar. And now we're saying, no, drop the ball. You don't need Almanas Litvar. Almanas Litvar is a different lingo, so to speak. It's a way of communicating that you need Almanas Litakein. And now we're saying that Rashi in Meleches Korea had a brand new chiddush, that you need a derech hashchasa, and therefore Beis HaTzavar is not derech hashchasa, and therefore a Koreinus HaNiyar is not derech hashchasa, and if you found a derech hashchasa, like the case of Al Mesa and so forth, Rashi would say it's chayim, even though it's not Almanas Litzvah. Just one second, Alan's been...
Why is Korea Niyar not hashchasa?
So again, in the case of Koreas HaNiyar, why are you not chayef for Meleches Korea? And again, Zev points out very well that if you go with the Rav Shulchan Aruch, that's not an issue at all, because it's not in the Dovra Nerag. But we're assuming now, like the Yerushalmi, and many poskim go with this Yerushalmi, that you're chayef for Meleches Korea, even if it's Niyar or Ar. And then you have to go back to the question of why the Tosefta allows you to be Korea, the Oral Gabi HaChavis, and that's going to be a whole discussion unto itself, also with the Chazon Ish. If you remember, the Chazon Ish says that, you know, you have to have the Dovar HaNikra, with an ayin at the end, Dovar HaNikra as your object, as your ultimate goal. But if you're just trying to get to something that's behind it, so that's not called Meleches Korea. That was a discussion that we had 2 days ago. But there's another way of learning. There's another way of learning this whole sugya of Niyar, and it has nothing to do, and the absence or the omission of Meleches Korea on the Dor HaSlam has nothing to do with the Rav Shulchan Aruch. We're going to assume now that Niyar is a perfect candidate for Meleches Korea, but the answer is it's not Derech Hashchos.
But it is, because you're focusing on the part you can use. But it is a hashkasa for the parts you're tearing off.
So then says another Mishnah Berurah, who, again, there's so many different dimensions here. The Mishnah Berurah says you need, in Meleches Korea, you have to need both sides. You know, you separate A from B, you need both B and A.
Okay, but you got,
I mean, nobody accepts that Mishnah Berurah, by the way. It's just, there's no source for that.
That Meleches Korea. You always have scraps, and there's always, that's right.
Yeah. I'd say 99% of the cases of Meleches Korea, you're not separating A from B. You know, again, in the Mishkan, that's maybe what they did, but Meleches Korea goes way, way beyond that. But again, you know, if you want to assume that you don't have to want both sides, and we'll leave that Mishnah Berurah, then we could say it's not Derech Hashchos. And that seems to be a very exciting approach in Melechus Korea, that Melechus Korea has to be... And again, if there was no precedent from Sosa, I would be very hesitant. I'd be very inhibited to go it that way. You know, who says that Kriya has to be this angry kind of Kriya, you know, Derech Hashkosa, which is so antithetical to everything we know about Melechus Shabbos. But once you have the precedent of Sosa, it's Nachadaiti, you know, it's kind of calming, because you see that there is such a thing as a Melechus Sosa. Well, then, again, it's got to be Alvanas... Alvanas Litake. That we could talk about Kibui, for example, right? Machaber might be also a Meleches Hashchasa in a certain sense, or even Mavir. Okay, Mavir is much more complicated because Rav Shimon's sheet is that Yechayev even from a Kalkel in Mavir.
But Mishnah Berurah is right.
Wait, let's give Yechiel a chance, you know, because
I have a problem.
Yechiel is very.
We've accepted the notion that there is Kriya Shel Hashchasa, there's Kriya Shel Lo Shel Hashchasa. Right? I mean, obviously, we wouldn't have this discussion if there weren't two types of kriya. Right. So, in the case of kriya, it says shalom hashkos, derech hashkos, so we're saying Rashi holds you're not chayef.
Right.
But how could you say that if I did kriya, shalom derech hashkos, amanas litvor, which is what, you know, which you can create such a scenario, right? The Rashi would say not chayef. When that was the exact words of the Mishnah. I mean, how could Rashi say that if I do it shalom derech hashkos, and not chayef at all? Why? But if I did it amanas litvor?
Well, I think shalom derech hashkos means. It's not that any time it's not b'derech hashkosa yipata. I think what he means is that in order to be chayev for kriya, it can't be X. It's more of like a negation. What's the X that Rashi is excluding? K'derech yitziras habegev. Meaning, if it's part and parcel of the process of creating a begev, that's how you create a begev. You need kriya to create a begev. That's not the kriya that the Torah had in mind. But I think there's a whole gray area in which it might not be exactly a kriya shel hashchasa, correct? But it's enough of a derech hashchasa that it's not the normal way you would create the begad, and therefore you'd be chayav.
That's the kriya of the ureus in the Mishkan?
Yeah. Let's say, for example, your excellent case. Ureus in the Mishkan. That's not the way I create ureus. And that's not the, you know, I wouldn't say that in the process of creating anything like ureos, kriya is on your list. You know, if you go to the manufacturer and he's teaching, you're an apprentice, he's not going to teach you kriya on the list. There are situations that arise in which you need kriya. That would be a kriya shel hashchasa. Again, even though it's not shel hashchasa in the literal sense, but it's not a kriya shel yitzira. And that would be a case that you're chayef. Again, it'd have to be creative, and it'd have to be a tikkun.
So this is the last question. Why can't we explain Rashi a little differently and say,
yeah,
to let Rashi sit well with the Mishnah? Because according to Rashi, the Mishnah should have said, HaKorea L'Sakein, right, chayef. Not HaKorea L'Sakein. But why can't we say Rashi holds it? Two ways to be chayef. If it's not Amnas L'Tfor, then you only chayef is Derech Hashchasa, with a tikkun purpose at the end.
Right.
But if it is Amnas Litvor, then that's the classical case of the Mishkan. I don't need Derech Hashchasa. It just has to be Amnas Litvor. And then I'm Chayiv. And then I can sit well with the Mishnah, and I can sit well with...
Good. I think that's very good. And I think it flows very nicely from everything we've said.
Well, I point out that it seems like the Mishnah Brewer's there is a huge cooler. It's fantastic.
Huge cooler. Because you can exclude 90% of the cases of Kriya. You're going to say, well, I need this Kriya because right, that's the way I manufacture
so
the
So what's
bag.
Wrong with that?
what's wrong with it? Gee, if you've followed the niggin, so to speak, in my shiur today, I've been very, very excited about this Mishnah Berurah. Very excited, both conceptually and as radical as it is, and in terms of, well, that's why I try to make a case here that it, you know, when you get one chiddush and one yisod, it answers four sugyas in Shas. I mean, that's an impressive. Not love, you know, it's not every day, every mutik and darishtik that I can come up with a chiddush, you know, it's not my chiddush, but I'm saying, and faren for four different difficult sugyas, four different difficult questions. So I, you know, if you want to take this cooler, you can take it. The only problem is, Alan, and that's where the Chazon Ish says maybe, you know, we shouldn't go too far with this,
yeah,
is that the Chazon Ish wants to know about opening letters on Shabbos. In a way that's kriya. Now, for this, you have to know a lot about Melechus Korea that we haven't even touched on. And again, Melechus Korea is the flip side of Melechus Tofer, so you have to know a lot more about Melechus Tofer. But suffice it to say that Devek, or Dibuk, is called Melechus Tofer. In other words, it's not the Av of Melechus Tofer, it's the Told, it has a similar Totsa, not a similar Maisa. But theoretically, if I would take two two objects and glue them together with devek, then that would be meleches tofer. The flip side of that would be if I separated the devek. So let's say, for example, you have an igeris avir where you roll a mechtav in such a way that you can combine it. You don't have to put it into something else, but you just put glue on it, and the glue attaches both sides of the piece of paper.
The old aerogram.
What do you say? The old aerogram, exactly.
Why isn't that bone?
I don't know if it's bone in Binyan Bekelim, but it's Meleches Tofer. Well, Lomazogin, it's Meleches Tofer. Again, I'm not posketing here, but just theoretically. So therefore, when I open up and separate this Devek, the flip side of Tofer is what? Is Meleches Kriya. Oh. So comes along the Chazon Ish, and he says the following. This is not Derech Hashchasa. And Alan, if you want to use a kula, here's a case of using this Mishnah Berurah kula, fantastic kula. Says the Chazon Ish, if you use the Mishnah Berurah's kula, I can open up an aerogram on Shabbos, because on the contrary, that's called manufacturing a letter. That's not destroying a letter, meaning now I can read the letter, and that's what the aerogram is meant to do. So it's only on a temporary basis that I do this dibuk, you know, in order to send it in the mail and protect it. But ultimately, the purpose of this letter is that you should be able to read it. So you can't call this Derech Hashchasa. This is Derech Tikun. This is Derech Yitzira. I'm creating something that I didn't have. But in the case of a letter that's folded up and put into an envelope, that's already considered a Kriya Shel Hashchasa, right? Because I'm taking this envelope and I'm ripping it apart. Again, doesn't mean what happens if I just separate it in such a way that I could reuse it, you know, so forth and so on. But let's say I... So usually, you know, when you talk about, for example, opening up cereal boxes or, you know, those kinds of, disposables, you know, all these kinds of things, you know, don't they tell you to, like, rip it to shreds kind of thing? But the paradox is that from the perspective of Meleches Korea, whenever it applies, I'm not going to... Right? They're telling you to do the wrong thing. That's the exact opposite of what you want to do. Because if you're going to rip it apart, that's exactly what Meleches Korea is all about, according to this Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, the Chazon Ish suggests that based on the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to be very careful about opening letters in the old time letters, you know, meaning that they were put inside the envelope and you're opening the envelope, because that's already Kriya Derech Hashchasa. And it's got a tikkun element because that's the only way you can read the contents of the letter. And again, you can extrapolate from that all sorts of cases where you're ripping something open in order to get what's inside of it. However, with the case of the Igeres Avir, there, the Mishnah Berurah would allow it. Why? Because here, it's B'chlal HaDerech HaShchosu. That's the way you open the letter. But then he adds another comment, which I thought was fascinating. I in Rambam, and the Rambam says, here in Perek Yud Halacha Yud, that you chayev for Beis HaTzavor, for what? For Meleches Korea. It's not Derech HaShchasa. So you have to admit that the Rambam never bought into this thesis. And again, as much as we're excited about it, and Alan says, why give up a kula if it's there? You know, it's there to be had. Comes all of the Chazon Ish, and he said, but P.S., you know, the Rambam is also a good buddy of ours. You know, we were okay with Rashi, you know, just open up this Igeret Avir because that's called Tikkun and not a Derech Hashchasa. But what about the Rambam? The Rambam says that in the case of Poseach Beis Tzavor, V'lo Yehei Maisa Tikkun Gadol Miseh, the Rambam says, Yechai from Leches Korea. So in the postscript of this whole presentation of the Chazon Ish, he says, P.S., you know, according to the Rambam, Yechai of Chatas for opening up Igeres Avir. If you can tell me that it's what? It's Derech Tikkun and not Derech Hashchasa. Kolsh came from Poseach Beis HaTzavor, according to the Rambam, Yechai from Meleches Korea. Okay. So that, I think, finishes page one. You know, please, if you can double check me on that. And therefore, we're up to page two. Now, here we want to mention a Maisa Rokeach. The Rokeach is considered one of the outstanding classical commentaries on the Rambam, and he addresses the question, why in the case of Poseach Beis HaTzavor, the Rambam omits Makar B'Patish, Rashi says in Yechayev for opening this hole in the Beged for Makar B'Patish. He doesn't take the approach that we mentioned earlier, that maybe, if you remember, we discussed this 2 days ago, that maybe according to the Rambam, Makom HaPatish always has to follow every malacha, meaning in the 38 malachas, you have to complete the malacha, and where the malacha ends, that's where Makom HaPatish begins. So therefore, anything, any action that could be subsumed under any of the 38 malachas, by definition, is not Makom HaPatish. Because otherwise, the Rambam would hold that for every single malacha on the 38th, you could be chayiv for the 39th. Which again, you know, the hayu dvar molada, you could be chayiv twice for one maisa. I mean, that's a sugya in Moed Katan that we discussed. But to say that for every single malacha on the list, you know, there's a makom HaPatish. So I complete Meleches Oreah, I complete Meleches Harisha, and I complete Meleches Afia, and there's always a Gvar Melacha, that last little inch, and therefore I'm Chai for Makom HaPatish. But the Sefer Rokeach has a different understanding. He claims that it's not enough to just take a scissors and cut around this hole. You're going to have to smoothen it out. You know, it's got to be fixed up, and it's not, Rambam holds, that's not the Metzius of Makom HaPatish. So therefore, the Rambam says, if the Gemara says here that Yechayev, it's got to be for Meleches Korin. Okay. Now, in the post, shall we say, post World War II period of time, paradoxically, we have access to certain things that we didn't have access to before, and Kol Shekein in the post Cairo Geniza, we have access to things that we didn't have access to before. And it's, you know, I get very emotional about this because it's mind-boggling to think that we can see Rishonim that were lost for 1,000 years. I have trouble with this. Just, I get very emotional about this. But anyway, so as you know, the Rambam had one of his great sons, the most famous of them all, was Rabbeinu Avram. But what you might not know is that Rabbeinu Avram had one disciple who's considered his Talmud Mufak, and his name is Rabbeinu Prachya. He was an Egyptian Jew, and although he was very young when the Rambam died, but he had a direct Mesorah from the Rambam through Rabbeinu Avram, because he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Avram. It's like really exciting, you know. Imagine if I could hear what Reb Chaim said in Volozhin 100 years ago, because the Rav is quoting Reb Chaim. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like really brings you right up there. So Rabbeinu Prachya quotes Rabbeinu Avram in the name of the Rambam. I mean, that's a pretty serious thing. You know, we're hearing the voice of the Rambam that we couldn't hear for the last 1,000 years. And the Rambam says that, you know what the case is of Poseach Beis HaTzavar? It's not what you think it is, that he actually cuts out a hole in this cloth. The hole was cut out, and even according to the Rokeach, that you need to perfect it and be Messiah of it, even that was done. Everything was done. But what was the minig, what was the custom? They used to add a little bit of a tag, or some sort of a piece. You'll see it even today, I think. Or something similar. What do they do today?
Pockets.
They saw pockets and things like that. So let's imagine that after they opened up the Beis Tzavar, they sewed it up, so to speak. And now, the reason they did that is that, you know, there are many people who are touching the merchandise. They haven't decided yet if they want to buy it. We're not going to let them remove this because we want to make sure that the person who actually buys the object realizes that it's new, it's, you know, it's fresh gebacht, you know,
smells like a new car.
It's like a new car, right? You know, you drive a car around the block, you know, if you bought the car, and you could sell it for half the price. You know, that's how it worked. So in the case of the Beged, the Korea, what he did in this case of Beis HaTzavar, is he removed that tag, you know, that piece after he bought the Beged. And the Rambam holds in such a case, he's chayev mishum meleches Korea. This is not the way that the Rokeach understood the Rambam, because the Sefer Rokeach understood that there's no chiyuv of meleches Makom HaPatish, because there's still part of the manufacturing process that has to be, you know, the Beged has to be perfected. That's not Makom HaPatish. Makom HaPatish has to be the final blow of the Gemar Malach. And here it's not the Gemar Malach. So we have to find a different answer to the question as to why the Rambam, according to the tradition of Rabbeinu Prachya, omits Meleches Makom HaPatish. that question remains a question. But I just wanted to point out to you, sort of agav urcha, once we're learning the sugya, that it's fascinating to see that history doesn't bear out the Maisa Rokeach. In other words, that the reason why the Rambam is hesitant about Makom Patish is not the way the Sefer Rokeach says it. Again, you could always say philosophically, Eilu Veilu Dimri L'Kim Chayim, but I'm just saying, if you look at it as a scientist for a minute, the more accurate understanding of the Metzius here of the Rambam is Makom Patish Mamish. It's literally the last thing that you have to do to perfect the Bein. So you're going to have to come up with an alternative explanation, not the Sefer Rokeach's explanation, not the explanation that we gave before, that he's chai for other malachas and therefore not. Although, again, if the Rambam holds that this is called Kriya, because it's a bad, right, it's a Dora Nerag, and the Rambam doesn't require, the way Rashi requires, a Derech Hashchasa, and I would hardly call this Derech Hashchasa, right, let's say you had a sewn up, pocket and you ripped it open, that would not be considered derech hashchasa, because that's the only way you could get access to the thing. So in order to get access to the base, you have to put this over your head, you have to cut this out. So the Rambam might be saying that since you're chai for Meleches Korea, therefore you're not chai for Meleches Makom Patish. But to say that he hasn't completed the manufacturing process, and therefore that's not called Meleches Makom Patish, that's a very logical way of learning the sugya, but it might not be the way the Rambam learned the sugya, because the Rambam is actually talking about the very, very last thing that you have to do, and the garment is completely manufactured. You know, we're not going back to the manufacturer. We just need the kona, the buyer, to remove this tloy, as the Rambam.
Well, if you sew the sewing that he does for the last thing here to just prevent somebody from using it until then, is he chayav for that or not?
Again, I would say he's chayav for Meleches Tofer if he did it on Shabbos. I mean, we're not talking about a case where
he's
did
doing
it on Shabbos.
Lichros.
So you want to know what happens if I sew something for the purpose of removing those stitches.
Right.
Is that called Meleches Tofer? Again, the Mishnah doesn't say that Tofer is a Menas
L'Zgayim. No, right, exactly.
So the question is whether that... I would ask a different question. I think the only question that's relevant here is whether if he sewed up the pocket, whether or not that's called Kilkul. But I wouldn't call it Kilkul because, again, it enhances his ability to sell the object. And if that be the case, it's a Meleches Tikkun. We don't find any almanases in Tofer. So I would say he's chayav for Tofer. But again, Rav Osef, if you want to shear on Tofer, I would have to I'd have to sit Zayin Akiv just to prepare a shear on Tofer. You should know, when they first came out with, what do they call those things? Those disposable diapers. What do they call them? Pampers, right. When they first came out with Pampers, there was a whole to-do here in Eretz Yisrael about whether you're allowed to use Pampers on Shabbos. And Velcro comes under this whole thing. The question is, what's called Dibuk? Ledavek is called Meleches Tofer. And if you remove the Dibuk, that's called Meleches Korea. So, for example, I have two problems. I have a baby who's wearing Pampers on Erev Shabbos already, and on Shabbos I want to remove the pamper, pardon the expression, it's Fashtunkin. And that might be Meleches Korea. And then, after I remove that pamper, I want to replace it with a clean pamper, and that's called Meleches Tofer. So you should know that historically, and I'm not saying Psak Halacha, but historically what the Poskim told you to do with pampers, you won't believe this, is to take all the pampers that you might need over Shabbos, open them and close them again. And once you open them and close them, it's no longer a dibuk, because it's produced in such a, manufactured in such a way that the first time it works, the second time it's considered only temporary, so it's not a Halacha Miskayemes. But I'm just trying to show you that if we would learn Meleches Tofer, the best person to look at for Meleches Tofer, I have no doubt, is Rav Gedalia Felder. If we can get the Yisodi Yeshurun, he'll have a lot of fun with Meleches Tofer, because there's so many contemporary, techniques of Meleches Tofer, like Velcro and whatnot. Today you can achieve tefira in so many different ways that Chazal probably didn't even have in mind. And the question is that called Meleches Tofer? But that's for a different discussion. Now, after all is said and done, Rav Osai, and this is number 8 if you have it on page 2, what is the deal with Rashi? Meaning the Prima Gadim, as we said over and over again, sees in Meleches Korea a mirror image of Meleches Mochik. Just like we said in Mechika, there are two categories of Mechika. There's Mechika Almanas Lichtov, and then there's Mechika Shel Tikun Shelo Almanas Lichtov. So too in Meleches Korea, argues the Prima Godim, there are two categories of Meleches Korea. There's Almanas Litfar, and then there's Shelo Almanas Litfar, which is a Meleches Tikun. Does Rashi accept this, can I call it bifurcation of Meleches, these two-pronged categories of Meleches Korea? So I wanted to go through a few possibilities. Number one, if we take the Ramban and the Ritva, who say that the reason why in Posea Pesach Tzava Rashi says you're not chayv for Meleches Korea is because it's not Almanas Litfar, even though clearly beyond doubt this is a Kriya Shel Tikun, and therefore even if there's no similarity in the Totsah, because it's not Almanas Litfar, it's not a Heksha Tfira, but still there's a perfect similarity in the Malacha, the Maisa Malacha, right? This is a Maisa Malacha on a Beged, and he's being Korea the Beged. Says the Ritva, Rashi holds, it's not Almanas Litfar, it's not a candidate for Meleches Tfira. So certainly in that approach, we have no basis for the Prima Godim in the framework of Rashi. Also point out that Tosfos and two different Tosfos on two sides of the page in Daf Ayin Gimel, as Rabbi Kvega points out, holds that you're only chayav from Meleches Kriya if it's Almanas Litfar. And that's where Rabbi Kvega comes up with his kasha from Korea Mechamoso Korea Be'al Almeso. Oh. But now, let's analyze Rashi's hesitation in the case of Poseach Pesach Tzavar to apply the principle of Meleches Korea. And we suggested with the Chazon Ish, based on the Mishnah Bura, that here it's a Maisa of creating a Beged, not a Maisa Hashchos. Oh. So if that be the case, then Rashi might hold that theoretically you would be chayav for Poseach Pesach Tzavar Mishum Meleches Korea, even if it was Shalom Manas Litfar, because it's a great tikkun, if it would have been a Maisa Hashchos. So we could work very beautifully, according to the Chazon Ish's understanding of Rashi, within the framework of the Prima Godim, meaning that there's another category of Meleches Korea called Korea L'Almanas L'Taken, even though it's Shalom and Aslitfar. But again, with the proviso, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands Rashi, that it's got to be a Maisa Hashchos. In the case of Beis Tzav, it's not a Maisa Hashchos, but Lu Yitzu Yad a Maisa Hashchos, like for example, Korea Meso, you would be Chai from Lechus Korea, according to Rashi, even though it's Shalom and Aslitfar. So that is a possibility. However, let's open up Rashi on the Mishnah. And perhaps we should emphasize this, Rashi. I think we once pointed it out, but we never really emphasized it enough. Rashi on the Mishnah says the following: Almanas Litfar, says Rashi, in the case of the Urios, Pa'amim Shanekev Agol. So he's got a hole that he has to fix up in the area, and it's round. It's very hard to sew apparently a round hole. Okay, let's take that as a given. It's therefore Elam Kain Koro. He's got to sort of square it off, and then it makes a lot easier to sew. So that's called Almanas Litfar. Korea Almanas Litfar. Now at this point, I was expecting that Rashi would tell me that if it's Shalom Almanas Litfar, then you're lacking tikkun. If Lu Yitzu, you could have a tikkun without Almanas Litfar, you'd be chayav. But Rashi, to our surprise, says something else. He pitches a different ball, so to speak. And what does he say? Av Korea Shalom Almanas Litfar Lo Avi B'Mishkan. What's he telling me? Shalom Avi B'Mishkan. If it's Shalom Almanas Litfar, then it's a kilkul. It's not a tikkun. The answer is Rashi knows very well that you could have Shalom Almanas Litfar. That's a tikkun. But Rashi says, even if you had solved the problem of Makalkil and it was a tikkun, you still wouldn't be chayv. Because what's the gzeiras hakosim, so to speak, of Alecha Shabbos? Mishkan. And in Mishkan it was Almanas Litva. It means that Rashi is telling us something totally different. He's telling us that Almanas Litvar is not an issue of Kilkul or Tikkun, it's an issue in defining the Malach itself. We are bound in our definitions of the Malach by Mishkan. And in the Mishkan, it was Almanas Litvar. I would reformulate it thus, that Rashi understands from Mishkan that Kriya is a Heksha Tfira. Period. Geendik. End of story. Finito. If it's not a heksha kriya, excuse me. If it's not a heksha tefira, does hasten it? It's not. That's not called kriya. In which case, you have to take the prima gadim and throw it out the window. As far as Rashi is concerned. Now again, we have proofs against Rashi. For example, the Rambam who says poseach beis atzaver is chay mishum tofet mishum korea. I sign on anas litvar. The answer is the tikkun. So if we want to find a source, so to speak, you know, a rishon for the prima gadim to stand on, you know, shoulders to stand on, we have it in the Rambam. He has also got grace of Platons. And number two, if you reject the prima gadim, as Rabbi Kivega points out very well, you're stuck with the question of korel chamos on korel mis. And that remains an outstanding question. Okay. Now, what I'd like to suggest is, what can we gain and what can we benefit from if we assume that Rashi holds that Korea is only Chayev if it's Almanas Litv?
But the word Rashi is very strongly supported by the Mishnah itself.
Because the Mishnah itself went out of its way to say Almanas Litvar, apparently defining the Malacha. It's a Maleches Heksha Tfira. And without Heksha Tfira, forget about it. That's not a Malacha. The Mishkan, that's the way they did Kriya, and that's what Kriya is, period. So again, even though I'm a little bit unhappy about that, because it undermines the Prima Gadim, and it's going to leave us with the Kash of Korel Meso, which is not Almanas Litvar. But nevertheless, I want to show you how excited I am about it. Because in learning, as you know, you lose some and you win some. So I want to see what we can win over here. And this is going to be the Naos Yaakov. He was the brother of the Kovna Rav, of the Dvar Avram. So his last name was Sender Shapiro. I don't know why exactly. I'm not sure why they joined those two names together. So here's a beautiful shtickle Torah. We once touched on this, and I think Yechiel once printed it out for us. So maybe he's going to do that again. I don't know. There's a famous shita in both Baba Kama and Iksubis of Tana de Bechizkiah. And this is called Chayve Misal Shogigin. It means that Kimle B'Ramimine doesn't require that you befall, that you implement the Onish Chamur in order to patter him up from the Onish Kal. As long as the Maisa was a Maisa which theoretically could generate a chiyuv misa, we're going to apply kibleh d'rami. What's the case? Shogeg. In other words, he violated an avera b'shogeg. Had he done it b'meizid, he'd be chayev misa. And simultaneous with his chiyuv shogeg, he also ripped someone's garment, or he burnt someone's gadish, he destroyed someone's property, and he should be chayev a chiyuv momen for mazik, for the mazik. He's potter, says Chizkiah. Why is he potter? Because he did a maisa that inherently, potentially, could be Machayev Misa, and that's enough for Kimleib Durab. Comes along Rashi in Masechta Bava Kama in the Sugya of Madle Gedisha Shel Chavera B'Shabbos. Potter Shekeim Mischayev B'Nafsho, that we apply Kimleib Durab there in Masechta Bava Kama. And Rashi says that even if this Malacha that he did was a Maleches Kilkul, and for sure he's potter, nevertheless, Kimleib d'Ramine would negate and cancel his chiyuv mamon, the same way Chizkiah says that Chayav Misas Shogegin is potter and applies Kimleib d'Ramine. Now, according to Rashi, what you need is the malacha, And if simultaneous with the malacha you damage someone's property, you don't have to pay, because the kinyan b'rabbani is inherent in the fact that the malacha potentially has a chiyuv misa. How do I know it's only potential and not actual? That I know already from Tanya Bechizki in the case of Chaim Misa shoging it. And Rashi extends this to apply it to Mekalkin. Tosfos disagrees, and it could be the machlokus really touches on something that we mentioned in the past. We don't know exactly what Mekalkel is. Is Mekalkel a Ptur in Melechah Shabbos because of Melechah Machsheves, or Mekalkel somehow undermines the whole Melacha? But in any event, Rashi holds that in the case of a Melacha be Mekalkel, you're potter from any damages because of Kimle B'Ramine, even though we're not going to put you to death. And he bases himself on Tana D'Vechizki. Fine. Comes along the Nos Yaakov, and he says on this, on page 3, this is against the sugya in Elu Naris, the famous sugya of Kimle and Rabine, Zorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba L'Sof Arba V'Kara Shirayim Ba'alichoso. So as he's shooting this arrow from one point in Rishus Rabim to 4 Amas away in another point in Rishus Rabim, he rips his friend's garment. And the Gemara wants to know, does he have to pay damages? Meaning, do we apply Kim the Rabbele or do we don't? And the Gemara vacillates back and forth on the issue of what's called Be'idna. Correct? That there has to be a simultaneity between his Chi of Misa, in this case Melech HaZorek, and the Chi of Mom. And we're not sure if this is simultaneous, because after all, at what point does he Chai for Melech as Mavir? With the Anocha, correct? He needs the Anocha. And in flight, before the Anocha, it rips his friend's garment. So at that moment in time, if I isolate that moment, there was no Chiyuv Misa. But on the other hand, the Halacha is that if the Chiyuv Mama was incurred within the context of a Maisa Avera, even if the Maisa Avera has not completed itself, that's enough for Kimle V'Ramini. So the Gemara wants to know, since it's in flight, but it's only after 2 Amos and not after 4 Amos, is that simultaneous with the Maisa Machayev?
Is that actually the criteria? I mean, if it had already gone 4 Amos but didn't do Hanukkah, it wouldn't be a problem? The question wouldn't stand? Or it's only because... I thought it was only because it didn't...
Well, even Hanukkah, it could be that Hanukkah is like 2 Amos, and it's until it actually lands, it's like in the middle of the malacha. It's not chatzi shir, it's chatzi malacha, if you know what I mean. So the Gemara wants to know, is this simultaneity sufficient to activate Kimle Meravimine? And the Gemara says it depends upon a principle called Akira Tchilas Hanochahi, that we see the malacha as beginning with Akira and ending with Hanocha. It's not that the malacha adheres in the Hanocha. No, the Torah prohibits Melechas Hotzah, not because you place something down in a certain place, whether it's Rishus this, Rishus that, or Dalet Amos, but rather for being Oker Umeniach. So the Melacha starts with Akir and ends with Hanocha. Now, within the context of that long extended Melacha, he incurred a Chiyuv Niskei Mamon, and therefore we're going to say he's part of me, didn't Kimle Ramin. Says the Nos Yaakov Rav Shapiro, what do you need this whole business about? Tchilas, you know, Akira Tchilas Hanocha, or not, he's chayav for Malacha at the moment of Kriya itself. Which Malacha? Malachas Korea. Forget about Malachas Hotza. Why isn't he chayav for Malachas Korea? Says the Nos Yaakov, that in this point, you're going to tell me that he's a Mekalkel. Why? Because there's nothing constructive that comes out of ripping someone's garment. And therefore, it's not Malachas Shabbos. Says the Nos Yaakov, that's a great answer, but only according to Tosfos. Bishleim Elishitas HaTosfos, who says that in the case of Mekalkel, there is no Kimle B'Ramine Nicha. But according to Rashi Shita, Rashi goes out on a limb, and he says, if you do a Malach on Shabbos B'Mekalkel, you're potter from damages in Kimle B'Ramine. So what are you going to tell me? That he's not Chai from Malachas Korea. Why isn't he Chai from Malachas Korea? Because it's Kilkel. That's not gonna cut the mustard, because Rashi holds his Kimle and the Rabbinay, even in the case of Kilkel. So Dalmi Hachi, leave out the question of how to define Melechas Hotzah, whether the Akira is Tchilas Hanocha, not Tchilas Hanocha, leave that all out. He's parted from damages because of Melechas Korea, which is certainly simultaneously with the Skiv Mammon. Eli, you tell me it's Mekalkel. Rashi holds that even in the case of Melechas Mekalkel, there's a din of what? Of Kimle B'Ramine. So Gemara could have avoided, circumvented the whole discussion, rip out a page in the Gemara And then you'll have to ask the question about the other side of the page, and you'll have to give the Rogachov his answer, because it's all superfluous. Who needs this discussion about Malefes Hotza? I don't care how you define Malefes Hotza, but Malefes Kriya is enough to activate the principle of Kim Lev the Ramine, despite the fact that it's Mekalkil. Oh, says the Nos Yaakov, I have an answer. That Rashi holds that Malefes Kore is only Amanas Litvar, and the proof of the pudding is because Rashi says that that was Malefes Kore and the Mishkan. And Malefes Kore, as it was done in the Mishkan, is what defines the Malacha. It's not a Zaitig of Ptur like Makalkel, you know, which is extraneous to the Malacha. You did the Malacha, but it was a Kilkul. Here, you didn't even do the Malacha. Because the Malacha itself is defined by what? Almanas Litvar. So again, as I said before, my agenda is not to accept this approach. And therefore, the Rambam is very helpful for me, because the Rambam based on Tzavra says Yechai from Lechus Korea, even though it's Shalom and Aslitvar, I'm also influenced by the Kasha of Rav Kivega about Korea Mechamosam. But once we saw the Rashi, and Rashi says clearly that if he was Shalom and Aslitvar, that's not the Kriya of the Mishkan. Rashi's not bothered by the issue of Tikkun versus Kilkul, meaning even if I'll convince you that it's a Tikkun, but it's not Dumi the Mishkan, and therefore it's not a Malacha, let's see what we can gain from that Rashi. Take the Rashi on the Mishnah Nayin Gimel and put it together with the Rashi in Bava Kama Daf Lamed Hey and explain the Gemara Ksuvos. Why does the Gemara Ksuvos avoid the issue of pottering him up from Kriya Shirayim Shel Chaver because of Kriya? The answer is it wasn't Shalom. It was not Almanas Litvar. It was Shalom Almanas Litvar. And if it's Shalom Almanas Litvar, it's not doing you the Mishkan. Felton, it's lacking in the very Shem Malacha, in the very Heft of the Malacha, the very Tzuris of Malacha, whichever language you want to use. And therefore, there's no Kimlei Rabinei even according to Rashi. So it comes out that Rashi is willing to extend Kimlei in the Rabinei to Malacha Shabbos, which was Kilkul. We already had Shogeg in Tanan Bechizkia. Now Rashi expands it to include Malech, to include what? Kilkul, and your part of the damages. And now we're adding that Bamedvar Mamurim, that's only because you're involved in a Malacha. You know, you've got the Tzuras on Malacha. But Rashi would agree that there's no Kimla in the Ramani to Pati up from damages in the case where you did a Korea Shalom Amanas Litvar, because Korea Shalom Amanas Litvar is not Korea at all. Sim?
You could argue Lozo Afzo, because you could say, okay, obviously on the Korea, there would be a Kimle. The question is with the Ma'avir, because the Ma'avir in that Sugi is trying to prove that we have got a Kimle in this case.
Because we can define the whole side such a way that there is simultaneity.
So what is the bigger chidush? The bigger chidush is on the Hotzah that there is the Kimlei, because on the Korea it would be obvious that there would be a Kimlei, because in the same way as if he shot an arrow and killed the person.
Wait a second, Zev. The Gemara is clearing whether he's chayef to pay damages or not. The Gemara has a price that says he's potter. The Gemara asks, why is he potter? It's not be'idna.
And that's right.
So I'm saying we have to defend the conclusion of the Braisa that he's Potter. And the Gemara wants to defend that Chiddush by saying that he violates Melechus Hotzah. Why did the Gemara prove anything about Melechus Hotzah?
Because it's a bigger Chiddush that we look at the Melechus Hotzah that he has the Kimlei there.
No, but Zev, I'm asking you the following question. You want to prove that there's Kimlei and Melechus Hotzah. I'm going to come along and slug up the whole Gemara. There's no Kimlei and Melechus Hotzah. There's Kimlei here from Melechus Kriya. How could the Gemara prove its definition of Hotzah, and this has tremendous ramifications in Hilchos Hotzah and Shabbos, based on the fact that he's potter from paying Tashlumin on the Shirayim? I'll tell you why he's potter from them, not because of your definition of Hotzah. Tislachli, Tepuklei, Mishum Melechas Kriya, Dalmiachi. How could the Gemara use that price of potter to establish its definition of Hotzah? I'm going to tell you why he's part. He's part because he violated Melechus Kriya. And that was certainly bitten. Says the Nos Yaakov, don't tell me it's Kilkul, because then you're in trouble with Rashi. Kilkalta at Rashi, right? The answer is that you're not part here because it's not Melechus Kriya at all. Why is it Melechus Kriya? And it's interesting, here the other Mishnah Berurah that I got so excited about would not help us, because the Mishnah Berurah says that you're only chayav for Kriya if it's Derech Hashchosa. This is Derech Hashchosa. Take a Shirayim, an expensive piece of drapes or whatever, and shoot an arrow through it.
But now with the Tikkun at the end.
So it's not a tikkun at the end, but Rashi says that if you do maleches Shabbos bekilkul, you're potter from damages. So again, how does the Gemara have any proof to stand on in maleches hotzah? The answer is because Rashi holds mishkan, and you need a kriya almanasim. Then we have the Marcheshes. The Marcheshes, I'm sorry, the Afikiyah, I meant to say. He says a different chiddush. He says that there's a Rashi in Masech the Beitza on Daf Lamed Daled on the Brisa. The Brisa says Mutu lefatzea egozim v'shabes b'matlis. Now the problem is that once you use this matlis as a sort of a glove, you might actually, in the course of being mefatzea the egozim, you might slice the matlis. And again, that might be Dov Shenim Skavim, blah, 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 but it's certainly also the Rabbanon. So Gemara says, no, even in Rabbanon, it's Mutav V'lo Choshashim, we're not afraid, Shevi Yikra. So Rashi says the following, we're not afraid, Shevi Yikra. So Rashi could have said that, you know, he's very careful about the way he implements this pitzua ha-gozim, but Rashi doesn't say that. No. What does it mean, lo chayshin and shema yikra? Says Rashi, because he's not korea almanas litvar. Again, we have to study the sugya in detail to get all the nuances, but just, if we can, just, you know, how should I say, you know, on the top surface, you know, just... Rachev, you know, both in Rashi says this is not almanas litfar. So Reb Kivege asks the following question: okay, it's not almanas litfar. He's got these gloves, and he's going to rip these gloves, and he can't resew them for whatever reason. Maybe they're made of latex, and so you can't sew it up. Whatever it is, but who cares? It still should be osamid rabbanon because mekalkel is osamid rabbanon. Says the Afikeyam, Rashi holds that if it's not almanas litfar, it's not chisaron in tikkun, it's mekalkel, it's not a malach at all. The chisaron is the gufa malacha. So that if it's lo almanas litfar, en kan kriya klal. And that's why lo chayshin and shevi yikra. In other words, again, before, without Rashi, we would have said lo chayshin shevi yikra, he'll do it in a careful way, and the chance, statistical probability that it'll be korea is very limited. And therefore, we don't have to say don't do X, because you might do Y. Don't be mefatzeh goes with the matlis because you might rip the matlis. That's the poshup shot. But Rashi reinterprets the sugya. And Rashi says the reason why lo chayshin and shema yikra is because he's not interested in re-sewing it. Frek the Rabbi Kivega, but what about mekalkel? That should be enough to aser it. It's very similar to the kasha of the Nos Yaakov, if you follow the similarity in structure, because the Nos Yaakov wants to say that Lechora, when he shoots the arrow, okay, it's a Meleches Kriya B'Kilkul. But so what? Rashi holds his Kimle B'Rabi, even the Meleches Kilkul. Here we're saying that at least there's an Issa Drabbanan in Kilkul. How can the Gemara establish in Beitza that Mutal if I'd say as I goes in? Rashi's Shalom and Aslitfor is not going to help me. The answer is that Shalom and Aslitfor and Rashi Lashitoso is not what you think it is. You think that Shalom and Aslitfor means it's a Meleches Kilkul, and if it should be also the Rabbanon, no. If it's not almanas litfar, it's not a maleches kriya at all, and it's not even also the Rabbanon. So it's stated in the Afikeyah. Okay, Rabbosai, that's what I prepared on maleches korea, and now we can start our shiur for today on maleches ksiva. Okay, then? So let's take out the Gemara in Perek HaBoneh, and we go back to maleches ksiva. The Mishnah says on Daf Kuf Dalid Amud Beis regarding Meleches Ksiva, Hakosev Shtei Osios Behelem Echod Chayav, as opposed to a case where he wrote one letter and then he found out it was Shabbos, then he forgot again it was Shabbos, he wrote another letter. That's called the Yediyah Machalekas. But here he wrote two Osios Behelem Achas, so he was totally unaware of Shabbos, he had forgotten Shabbos, and he wrote two letters. So he's chayev kor mechatas. Fine. That's not for us now. But what are we up to now? The next part of the Mishnah. Now the next part of the Mishnah is very important, not only for Meleches Shabbos, but it might have repercussions for Meleches, I'm sorry, for Ksiva in get, and Sefer Torah. In other words, how does the Torah envision ksiva? What constitutes ksiva? So the Mishnah says the following: Kosa bidyo, besam, besikra, bekumus, bekankantum. These are all various types of inks. And the Mishnah says Yechayah for all of them, for Meleches Kosev. And the overriding principle is Ubechol Dover Shehu Roshe. Roshe means it has to have some sort of a permanent impact. And it's going to last. And these are cases listed in the Mishnah of various forms of Dyo that have a lasting effect. And what might happen here as a result of this whole sugya is that, you know what, as far as get is concerned, or Sefer Torah is concerned, you might have some sort of an ink that's not really ink in halacha. And that's going to passle up a lot of gittin and Sefer Torah. So the ball game is not over. You know, let's not throw in the towel, because the Mishnah went out of its way to say Ubechol Dovar Shehu Rosha. And that's called a ribui. I don't mean a ribui in Mikra, in Torah Shebichtav, but it's a ribui in Mishnah. Where the Mishnah goes on and formulates a general principle, and in all, blah, 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 when it adds and is all, we have to dash in the Mishnah and see Lasuyema. So that's what the Gemara now addresses. Okay, then? Okay. So the Gemara says, Lasuye Mai. So the Gemara says, Lasuye Hoditoni Rabbi Hanani. Do I have that? Do you have a different text? Just 1 second, I have Rabbi Hananya. It should be Rabbi Hania. Well, you have Rabbi Chia?
Yeah, a little bit. Right?
Well, you're ahead of me, I think.
On the fourth page?
The very top of the fourth page.
Is what oh, I'm in the Gemara itself. Okay. So I'm reading the Gemara. I don't know what I wrote on the page. I hope I didn't mislead you on the page, but we'll get to the... Yeah, I'd rather correct my page than correct the Gemara. So the Gemara has Rabbi Hananya. What does Rabbi Hananya have to say? He says, Kosvo, okay, he's talking about a get. Kosvo, Bimei Tarya, the Aftza, Kosha, the get is Kosha. So, Moshe, I honestly can't tell you, I know exactly what these words mean. I'm just going to read you the English translation. And he says here in the English translation, which I photocopied, that Mei Tarya is rainwater, and somehow they steep it in some sort of an ink kind of thing, and it gives a certain color to it. It's not exactly like Dyo in the Mishnah, because it's not ink, but it can be used. Apparently it has some sort of...
My English says it's the juice of the fruit called Tarya.
Right. He has in the footnote here that alternatively, it's water in which a species of fruit known as Tarya has been steeped. Okay, so whatever it is, it's a little bit of a b'dievan kind of thing. It's not your real permanent deal. But nevertheless, kosher, it's good in get. And the premise is, if it's kosher in get, which means to my seksiva and seksav and so forth and so on, then it's also chayev in Shabbos. Then he has something called aftza. I don't know what you have. I have gallnut juice. Okay, so I'm just reading from Art Scroll. Gallnut juice. So next time I see a gallnut, I'll figure out what gallnut juice looks like.
Black.
Okay. It's black?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what is gallnut? What does it look like? I never saw it.
Gallnut is like a tumor that grows on the tree because the wasp lays its eggs in there, and the chemical from that makes it, and it creates a little house for the wasp.
I see.
But it apparently is great for
It must be great, because to build a house for a wasp, it's got to be great. Wasps only like great houses, you know, especially Italians. Okay,
they all qualify.
Seb, did you follow that discussion?
Yeah, because
You lived in Australia, so I don't know what a wasp means in Australia. Anyway, well, but be that as it may, this is a waspy house. That's sort of black pigment, black extract, and that's good enough for Faxiva. Okay. So that's number one. Now, we're going to jump forward here to a Tosfos in Gittin. Because again, if we want to know what would be good for Ksiva, say for Torah and Get, we have to go to the original Sugya, which is in Gittin. And Tosfos has something to say about that Sugya. Okay then? And Tosfos says, this is on Daf Yutes, right? That Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Dio Shalonu who kori Dio. Our Dio is Dio, and therefore fulfills the requirement of Ksiva. But velo, but not osam, oso shaosim me'afotzim. So again, I'm going to need your help here. He translates afotzim as gallnut resin, R-E-S-I-N. Okay, so I would assume that this gallnut is probably the same as the, just one second, we said that afto was called gallnut juice, right? So I'm assuming, and tell me if you disagree with me, that afotzim, although again, it's a little bit confusing to me because afotzim is spelled with an ayin, and afto, which sounds similar, but it's spelled with an al, but maybe that's because of the Aramaic, I don't know. But I could be dead wrong, but I'm assuming that afto is the same as afotzim. And lo mikri dio, that doesn't qualify as dio. Here in our sugya, we said la suye afto, which seems to say that it is considered dio. And then he goes on to say that in Sefer Torah, we also need dio to the exclusion of afto. And then later on in the Tosfos, he quotes a Gemara by Mebadlikim about srafim. And srafim are yofim lidyo. So that's a Gemara on Daf Chaf Gimel. So again, I'd have to look up the Gemara. Maybe if you don't mind, can I ask you, Yechiel, to look up? You have Daf Chaf Gimel with an English translation on your computer? Yeah. No, in Shabbos.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
If you don't mind, just looking for a translation. I ran out of time for the word srafim, which I think are some sort of a serum or an extract, a sap. Excellent. Okay, I don't have an English translation, but I think Zev is right on target. It's some sort of a sap. And the Mishnah says, "Kol asrafim yafim l'dio." The Bryce says, "Kol asrafim yafim l'dio." So, what's the difference between these saps, which are fine for dio, and the afotzim, which Rabbeinu Tam excludes? So basically, Rabbeinu Tam says the following: Ela Omer Rabbeinu Tam, disraf, meaning these saps that are kosher for dio, who lachluchis klipas ha'eitz sha'osim mimenu dio shalonu. You take something from the bark of a tree, and it has a certain lachluchis to it, and you can manufacture dio from that. And that's not the general kind of sraf, which is called afotzim, right? And osam afotzim, which sometimes we use as a substitute for dio, that's not called dio. So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you want to ask me what would be the broadest, you know, the how should I say, what word am I looking for? In other words, if I want to push the envelope all the way up to the boundary line, what would be my broadest definition of dio for Sefer Torah? It would have to be this lachluchis klipas ha'eitz sha'osim imenu dio. And that apparently is something that's much more much more permanent than this Dio Shalafatz. So what I wrote on the page is that there's a Rambam in Hilchus Tefillin that actually addresses this question. Does anybody have the Mar Makomos page? Because it's somewhere underneath this whole pile. Oh, here it is. I found page 3. Where's page 4? I'll give it right back.
So,
oh, can I trouble you, Jeff, since you're doing me mitzvahs today? This is the Rambam in Ava. Is this Rambam Ava? Say Av on it, yeah. So if you don't mind, take a look in the Rambam. Now goes for money is in Perek Aleph Milchus Tefillin, and let's just summarize what we have. The Gemara in Shabbos says Kol Asrafim Yafim L'Dio, and the Gemara says that there's something called a Sraf Katev, which has a certain nice smell to it. That's Yafim Mikulim. That's already a mitzvah in a Muvchar. Now, the question is, do we have a conclusion to be drawn from Tosfos and then finally the Rambam about what constitutes Dio for a Sefer Torah? Tosfos excludes Afatzim, Einom Ksherim L'Dio. And the Hagos Farmonius in Perek Aleph Milchus Tefillin says that if you take a Sraf and you dry it, then that could be kosher. And this whole halacha of Sraf Shel Bosem and these kinds of things, that's only l'chatchila. So Rav Soloveitchik in his Harei Kedem apparently understands that there's a fundamental machlokas here between Tosfos and the Rambam. It means that according to the Rambam, you don't need the real Dio, which is that permanent ink. But anything that has a maresh shachar, it looks black, and it has a certain, I guess, minimal amount of permanence, like we use afatzim for dio, that would be kosher for sefer Torah. And not only that goes for money. Quotes another rishon. He himself was a rishon, but he quotes an early rishon, Rabbeinu Simcha. He very often quotes Rabbeinu Simcha, and he says, "Ani savur shekol tsever shachar amiskayim al aklaf nikra dio." The lomat sinu shehei alocha lemoshe misinai shaloye kosher el dio karush, and therefore dio afatzim would be kosher. So, in other words, what it turns out that this whole sugya of afatzim is a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos, for some reason, without quoting alocha lemoshe misinai, apparently he thought afatzim was a very temporary kind of pigment of dio, is not considered dio. And even though we have a Gemara that includes afatzim, that's a different kind of afatzim. That's from the, you know, from an eitz and a bark of a tree, and then you add lachluchis, and whatever, or it comes with lachluchis, and the whole different process, and it produces dio. The Rambam, on the other hand, and certainly Rabbeinu Simcha, that goes by Manios, assumes what? That even afatzim would be dio. And he dramatized it, Rabbeinu Simcha. He says, there's no halacha Moshe Misinai that excludes afatzim. So I don't know if you have a chance to photocopy this article in Harei Kedem. I'll just read to you a few lines. It should be on page Reish Tes Zayin. Yechiel, you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he says, V'nira lomar, din yesh nafkevina beplug tezu biyesod kedushas klaf shal sefer Torah. And here the Rav says an amazing chiddush. I'm dazzled by this. It's a little bit too radical for me, but I'm just going to share it with you. He says the following. We have a principle in Masechta Sukkah and also in the Nedarim and elsewhere called Hazmano Lav Milsahi, which means that if I, let's say, point to this parchment and I dedicate it for the sake of a klaf, a Sefer Torah, it does not have Kedusha Sefer Torah because I haven't yet written on the klaf. Here's the language of the Baal Amar in Sukkah. He says, "Avol b'ksiva atzma shel tefillin v'sefer Torah, kuli alma be'idan lishma." He's touching on the issue of lishma in ksiva, and he has here not only sefer Torah but also tefillin. And it was never an issue, he says, that you need ksiva lishma in order to generate kedusha sefer Torah. Lekaman de polig behu. Then he writes, v'hu adin legvilin shel sefer Torah uklaf shel tefillin v'duchstumis shel mezuzah dechol hani ksiva kiksiva dami. In other words, you need ksiva. That means you need ksiva lishma. However, the Ramban says that klaf is not called guf hakdusha. This is the language of the Ramban. The gvilin shel ksiva nami agav ksavu de kedusha. In other words, it's really the dyo and the osios that has the kedusha sefer Torah, but the gvil itself does not have the sefer Torah. Kedusha sefer Torah. So again, let's go back to the language of the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor says that when we say about tefillin and sefer Torah that it's gufa kedusha and harai you need lishma. He says that's not limited to what we call the ksav, but even hu adin legvilin shel sefer Torah or klaf shel tefillin. So you write a sefer Torah on a klaf. The klaf itself has the status of gufa de kedusha. We'll have to see exactly the repercussions of that. But he says that the Ramban writes explicitly that the gvilin did not have kedusha sefer Torah, and it's agav the ksav. It may have a secondary kind of a kedusha, but the real kedusha is the ksav itself. So the Ramban says the following: that let's say you would erase the ksav from the sefer Torah. Now I don't know exactly how much you have to erase, but what's the deal with the gvilin? What's the deal with the parchment itself? Ramban says there's no kedusha to the parchment because the parchment was never independently sanctified. Its kedusha is only insofar as it facilitates the osios. But if you remove the osios, then the kedusha's klaf is gone. The Baal Amor, on the other hand, says that the klaf itself is called gufa the kedusha, and all the issues about hazmana milsa and so forth apply to the gvilin and the klaf as well. How do we paskin la halacha? So the Ramah and Arachayim and Beis at Hilchos Sefer Torah says the following: Uklaf hamaubad Hilchos Tefillin, Uklaf hamaubad l'shem Tefillin, Asur lichtov olav divrei chol. Dazmona ki hai gavna legufa kedusha milsehi. So the halacha of Hazmona Milsa changes when it gets to Gufa the Kedusha. And he says the following, that the Ibud itself, meaning when you tan the hide of the animal, of a kosher animal, and you make it into a cloth, right? He says that's more than just Hazmona Milsa. That's
the Gufa Davar.
Correct. It's not just that you specify and say, I designate this for a Sefer Torah, but I already did the act of Ibud. Once I do the act of Ibud, that's already beyond Hazmona Milsa. Now that halacha only applies to Gufa the Kedusha, because again, if the Kedusha the Klaf is a spin-off of the Ksav, he hasn't yet started the Ksav yet. All he did was the Ibud. It means that the Ramah reflects the sheet of whom? Of the Ramban. You follow? Because the Baal Amor says that the Gvilim, like the Osios and the Ksav, have a status of Guf the Kedusha. And therefore, once I did the Ibud, that's already beyond what? Beyond Hazmona Milsa. But the Ramban says, no, that all the Kedusha of the Klav is a result of the Osios. It's not in and of itself Kadosh, because it's not Guf the Kedusha. The Ramban seems to assume, like the Baal Amor. What did I say? I meant to say the Baal Amor. So the Ramah seems to assume like the Baal Amor that the klaf has a din of what? Of Gdufa Kedusha. Aval ayin Magen Avram in the same Simon, Shehevi is Das Ramban. So it seems that the Magen Avram, as opposed to Ramah, accepted the Ramban Shita, which means that the Gvilim did not have a din of a status of Gufa the Kedusha. They're only an extension of the Ksav. And until you write the osios, the gvilin have no status whatsoever. You can't even talk about asmana nulsa because it's not good for the kedusha. Asmana nulsa only applies something that in and of itself is kadosh. He says, "Bebir plutas balamor varamba niro lomad balamor svili da klaf aksav havi chefta shel dover echad." Once you write the ksav, then the klaf itself becomes part of the ksav. It becomes one indivisible entity. Da ksav nichtav al klaf. For who chelik mimena? The ksav is part of the klaf. The ain klaf dover mifnei atzma. And therefore, the Rama says, "Kol the hadik siva kiksiva dami." So you have ksav is one chefza, and you have klaf is a different chefza. Umemelo kedusha da klaf irak agav kedusha ksav. V'havilei tashmishe kedusha, but it's not gufa the kedusha. So he wants to suggest in the next paragraph that this issue about how you define dio in a sefer Torah, and which dio is kosher for sefer Torah, in the case of Asraf Shalaitzim, this depends upon the machlokas between the Balamor and the Ramban as to whether or not the klaf is gufa kedusha, is it one entity together with the ksav. If it's one entity together with the ksav, then we need a certain kind of ksav, and the standards and the definitions of what constitutes dio for ksav are raised to a higher level, and that's going to be the shita of the Balamor. And that's also going to be the shita of the Bali Atosis, Rav Enutan. So he writes, what time is it, by the way? You have to go to Mincha soon?
Yeah.
So do me a favor, if you don't mind, open the door so we'll hear when they're ready for Mincha. He says, Shoresh plutam de milta choli machlokas Rav Enutan v'shari shon v'dio shol sefer Torah. Dima dio hu misraf shol eitzim shudover yavesh v'gam be'init shei bo shemen. In Kena Dio Havi Chefta Bifnei Atzma, if there's a certain dinim of Dio, it's an entity of Tzavakon Ksav, who Dov Bifnei Atzma. And that would indicate the Sheet of the Ramban. Now, Balavars, really, Karabam, Dien Halacha Mesuyemis Bidio, because what is Dio? It's not a separate, I'm sorry, what is Klav? It's not a separate entity, right? It's only there in order to give the dio a certain substance to it. In kei einza ela chazusa bi'alma de mivla b'toch haklaf. So Blin Eder, we'll try to finish this up next week. Okay, then. Wish everybody a great Shabbos.